I want to talk about the local church, but more what's going on in the hearts of the true believers within a local church, how God has designed it. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians 12, and the title is The Uniqueness of the Body of Christ. You know, the local church has been criticized in a lot of ways. Now, if you really want to find fault with a local church, you probably can. But if I was going to criticize the local church, I would start in this chapter. This chapter is very pivotal to how God has designed the body of Christ. And for God to reach us, for us to reach our full potential in being set apart from God, I believe we have to submit to how God has set it up. And we're going to learn some precious treasures that there's a lot of diversity within a local church, but the principle is the unity among diversity. We're going to learn that we all have different gifts, we all have different talents, and we all have different convictions on issues. But what God has called us to do is to find that place where we can uphold his truth in the oneness of the Holy Spirit. And so I want to start off in 1 Corinthians 12:4, but let's pray. Father, we thank you for just the wisdom and the direction that you've given us in your word. Thank you, Father, for just bestowing this gift of eternal life on us, that we, Father, have eyes that can see and ears that can hear, and that, Lord, we can truly submit ourselves to your holiness, and we can say no to ungodliness. And so, Lord, I just pray that today's message would resonate in all our hearts, that we would see how indebted we are to one another when we come together under one roof in a local church to glorify you. And so we lift this up and just pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit would illuminate the wonderful truths of this passage. In Jesus' name, amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4, it says, there are a diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministry, but the same Lord. And there are a diversity of activities, but it is the same God who works it all in all. So you can see, in the function of a church, you can see the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit have a role. But the emphasis here is on the gifts of the Holy Spirit that have been bestowed upon every believer. He goes on in verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Again, the manifestation of the Spirit is a reference to the different gifts that God has entrusted us with. Romans 12:3 says we've all been given a measure of faith. And the context, once again, we all share in the body of Christ with a measure of faith how God has distributed, or the Holy Spirit has distributed, gifts upon us. And so the idea is whatever gifts that God has bestowed upon us, we have to be faithful with those gifts. You know, and gifts, we're going to learn, are based on God is looking for the quality of our faith in our gifts, not so much the quantity. And what I mean by that is an evangelist like Billy Graham or Franklin Graham today obviously is going to have more quantity as far as bringing people to the Lord, as opposed to a faithful mother in the household who doesn't have that opportunity. But she can be faithful with what God has entrusted her with. And so God is looking at the quality, and he wants us to be faithful. One of the things that will come out at the judgment seat of Christ, according to 1 Corinthians 3, I believe Romans 5, is that God is going to be looking, how faithful were we when what he entrusted us with? And if he entrusted us with evangelizing, get out there and evangelize. If he entrusted us with teaching, then do your homework and study. If he entrusted us with the gift of mercy, go to the hospitals and visit the sick, especially brothers and sisters in the Lord. And you know, this is the way all of this works. And so God wants us, he's looking for quality, but that quality will be produced by being faithful to what God has entrusted us with. And so he goes on, he says, verse 7 again, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For one is given the word of wisdom. He's listing a couple of gifts, but there's three major sections in the Bible that define the gifts. I've come up with 18 gifts that are truly defined through these three major sections. Romans 12 here, and Ephesians chapter 4, where the emphasis is on leadership gifts in Ephesians chapter 4, around 12 and 13. And so, to another, faith by the same Spirit, to another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, discerning of spirits, to another, different kinds of tongues, to another, the interpretation of tongues. But this is climactic, verse 11. But one and the same Holy Spirit works in all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. And so it's the Holy Spirit who bestows upon us, distributes the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I take the position, according to the grammatical structure of the Greek, the gifts, in order to come into the body of Christ, which we're going to learn, we have to be baptized into the body of Christ. And if we are in the body of Christ, we are already a gifted member of the church. So to me, the weight of Scripture is suggesting at the point of salvation, we have been gifted with one gift or more gifts. Some of the gifts are obvious. Other gifts, like myself, I was 8 months in the Lord, and people kept telling me, you need to be teaching. You need to be teaching. 8 months in the Lord. And so I started a Bible study, and I think my wife was my best fan. She says, wow, you know, and she really encouraged me. We weren't married back then. We met at a Bible study, but it was about 8 months, 10 months later, and that's, you know, those are how God gifts reveal themselves. Someone will ask me, what gifts are available? And so that would be a starting point. Find out what gifts are available. There's 18, but there's a 19. There's a 19 gift where there's not much of a run on. It's called the gift of celibacy in 1 Corinthians 7. I thought that was funny, but you guys out there? And so there's really 19 gifts available. The gifts, according to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. In fact, I wrote that one down. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So our gifts are not for our own personal entertainment. They're for the body of Christ. I have to make myself available as a pastor teacher. God gave me this gift, so I wouldn't fall in love with myself, with my knowledge and my role. He gave me this gift for my brothers and sisters. I have to be available to my brothers and sisters so they can have access to my gift. That comes easy for me because growing up, I've always been a people person. It's not hard for me to talk with people. I kind of enjoy the company, you know. But sometimes pastors isolate themselves from the body of Christ. What are you doing? You know, these people need access to your gift. And I think it's just a disappointment or a mistake when pastors are unreachable. I got to tell this story. I got a friend in New York, you know. He's trying to get an appointment with the pastor. September 28, 2026, he can get in. I said, Vinny, he's a blind kid. You know, great kid. I mean, great guy. I mean, I keep forgetting these guys. Time doesn't stand still. He's 55 now. five kids. But I knew him when I was ministering in Brooklyn at the church, and we became good friends. And we started joking. It's like, what? All you want to do is have a half hour or an hour with the pastor. And he said, well, we'll get you in there. You know, and it's like, by that time, you'll forget what you wanted to talk to him about. The other thing is, I just texted him yesterday or 2 days ago. I said, Vinny, was that 2026 of September or was that 2027 of September? Making a joke. You know, that was funny too, but you guys, you are a tough crowd. I'm going to have to broadcast that I'm going to tell a joke before I tell it. If I'm going to get a laugh from you guys. Yeah, no. But verse 12 is climactic too. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Verse 13, by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. That's language from John 7, his gospel. And so all of us at the point of conversion have been baptized into the body of Christ. We have been empowered once and for all. The idea is, how do we tap into that power that has been made available once and for all? Well, being Spirit-filled is one way. But again, as I said a little earlier, we all come into the body of Christ. The reason why we can share the oneness of the Holy Spirit, the reason why in our diversity we can be so unified with one another, because all of us at the point of conversion were baptized into the body of Christ. Now, the local church, the Reformers called it a visible church, because in a local church, believers and non-believers exist. A lot of non-believers walk into the local church, but the true church is the universal church, which transcends all denominations. But for us, we hope that everyone here is born with the Spirit of God, has been baptized into the body of Christ. And if that's true, trust me, we are going to identify with one another concerning the things of truth. And we should, you know, we'll have our different convictions, but when it comes to the main issues of our fellowship and our oneness, we should all just come together and complement each other. We'll really complement each other if we're faithful to what God has entrusted us with. And I'm going to talk a little bit more. How does this work with the gifts? And so maybe I'll save that one. Verse 13 says again, for by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. Paul is guarding against social statuses. You know, if you're a rich man as opposed to a slave, don't matter. We're all children of God. We're all equipped. We're all equipped with different gifts. And so man is always putting labels on social status. You get on a plane, first class, coach. You know, that's man. But when it comes to the body of Christ, the ground is level at the cross. And we, according to Scripture, ought to submit to one another. And that doesn't exclude leadership. Someone asked me, who do you submit to? You know, because I've been independent with the last fellowship. And I submit to my brothers and sisters. Well, don't you submit to somebody out in Wisconsin or in California? They don't know me from Adam. My brothers and sisters, they know me. I submit to them. And so, to suggest that this is a one-way street where, you know, leaders start pulling rank on the church, you need to submit to me. Yeah, that's true, but it's a two-way street. And I'm indebted to my brothers and sisters, just like all of us are indebted to our brothers and sisters when it comes to coming alongside and helping each other grow in the Lord. Sometimes we just bring the ideas of man and the value system of man in running a church. Let the Holy Spirit run the church. You know, sometimes man gets in the way with all his ideas about running a church. Just follow the word of God. Let the Holy Spirit have his way. And trust me, God won't put us in any maze or any secrets. And there's certain things, even for pastors, God gives us a special intuitive knowledge to know what the needs are in the church. And those are the things, as a pastor, I pursue. But sometimes, you know, man could just get in the way and set up traditions and a technical way of this and that. It's like, stop. God is speaking to us through the Holy Spirit. And if we're faithful and teaching properly, the Holy Spirit will really open up our eyes to see the reality of what is really going on in a local church concerning the truth. So, verse 14, he does something interesting. He uses the human body to drive home how important it is that we not live independent of one another. Listen, Pastor Wayne put the Calvary Chapel Sunrise on the map, okay? He purchased a building, a property, okay? Let's honor that. Basically, God, there's only one foundation, Jesus Christ. But as an instrument of God, Pastor Wayne laid a foundation. You got a place to worship. Amen. Well, let's do it the right way. We're going to learn. Nobody is left out. There is no such thing as an insignificant member in this church. You know, the unsung heroes, they're my heroes. The unsung heroes, I walk in here and I know the girls are back there. They're ready to do the sound. I go Tuesday to do the study. I don't have to worry about setting up. I got sisters over there just taking care of business, closing up. Those are unsung heroes. They're the ones with the gifts of helps. You don't know what a blessing it is to a church, to people who go unnoticed. For the most part, they are the ones that are holding the church together in the unseen world. They're committed. They're like, I come in here and I'm telling you, those girls back there, like a bear, they're going to be there. I get here at 9:30, half hour, they're still there. You got Melissa doing worship practice before the study starts. Like, it's going to happen. Now, I don't mean to just, you know, talk about certain. I want to talk about all of us. All of us can play an important role. If we have the gift of encouragement, do you know there's a gift of encouragement? I mean, we all have to encourage one another. But there is actually a gift of encouragement where you can just get around someone and be encouraged. I had a brother in the Lord. He had the gift of encouragement. He would sit right next to me when I was doing a Bible study. I was so encouraged. He didn't even have to say anything. It was just a gift that, you know, he would say a couple things. But that's how powerful it is. And some of us with the gift of encouragement, we better make it our business to be involved here because we're encouraging brothers and sisters. Again, the gift of helps, the gift of faith. You know what? If I started a new work, right? Okay, I'm pastor, teacher. Believe me, I'm not going to survive alone. Because we're going to learn that the foot can't say to the eye, I don't need you. Or the leg can't say to the arm, I don't need you. Can you imagine if five pastors started a new work and that's all the only gifts they had was pastor teachers? They'd all be in love with one another with their knowledge of the scriptures. And nothing would get done. I start a new work. I want one with the gift of administration. I want one with the gift of encouragement. I want somebody with the gift of faith. Because all of a sudden, when I don't see any growth in the church, I'll be going, let's get out of here. Let's go home. The person with the gift of faith, come on. Where's your faith? You know, we're all supposed to grow in faith, but it's another gift that's miraculous. And there's certain people, the roof could be caving in and say, it'll be okay. It'll be okay. The roof is caving in. It'll be okay. That's the gift of faith. I need that around me. I need the gift of encouragement around me. I'm not an administrator. I need an administrator around me. I got my own personal administrator at home and my wife, you know. She's over there with the details. Oh, we got to get the copies out for Tuesday. Leave me alone. I just want to preach. I just want to teach. Who cares about the copies? We'll get them to the people. Now, she's so detailed, administratively minded. That's how this works. Imagine a pastor has to be tied down with administration when there's somebody with the gift of administration. Hey, pastor, feed the sheep. Take care of them. I'll take care of the administration. Don't worry. Don't you worry about a thing. I got it all covered. That's how this works. So I go on, start a new work. What am I going to do? I'm going to make sure I got someone with the gift of evangelizing. I don't have the gift, but I have to do the work of an evangelist. Like all of us, we should all be doing the work. If we have the gift, it's going to be easy to get out there. Evangelists can't survive unless he's preaching Christ. They can't survive. I got an evangelist telling me, boy, I'm really in the dumps. So when's the last time you evangelized? And it's been a while. Will you get out there? That's what's going to bless you. But that's how this works. But we all do. But I want an evangelist with me. Man, they got a one-string guitar, an evangelist. They're not into small talk. They just want to preach Christ. Forget all the small talk. Me, I'm trying to build bridges with people. Oh, forget about building bridges with an evangelist. Do you know Christ? That's the first thing out of their mouth. You got to love it. Right? I would think so. You got to love it. You see how this is all coming together? And so he goes on. He says, he uses the human body. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? Imagine the whole body's just one big ear. It would hear good. But it couldn't do anything else. You know? Well, that little thing there, that thing here is real good. Yeah, but you need some legs to get around. You need some eyes to see. Kind of get the idea? You kind of get where all this is going with us? Huh? Don't let anybody come in and say, I don't need the church. You ever see these people running around? They're like, they're so spiritual. I don't need the church. I got Christ in my heart. Oh, I go to my prayer closet. Oh, they're so spiritual. Oh, you're really something else. You're really a Bible thumper in the whole business, you know? It's like, stop it. Not to go to church is a violation of God's word. That's just the facts. Not being committed to brothers and sisters with your gift, that is a violation of God's word. And do you know what happens when you just do your own thing and don't even commit to a local body? You are robbing the church of the gift that God has given you. What a horrible thing. So I tell these guys, please give me a break. Don't tell me you don't have to go to church. Knock it off. I get it. We're saved without going to church. I get it. But when it comes to fellowship and what God has put in his written word, we better submit ourselves to a local church and commit to it and make ourselves accountable, make ourselves available to be able to function in the church. Don't be coming to church for 3 months and nobody knows your name. That's not a good sign. Nobody knows your name after 3 months. Come on. That shouldn't be. Make ourselves available. There's a lot of needs in this church. That's just the facts. There is a lot of needs in this church. And like I said, when the gift of helps is operating, you know, I'm going to emphasize the sisters, but they are taking care of business. And I say amen. You imagine a pastor has to come and set up the church before he starts preaching? That's a cardinal mistake. That's sin. That's sin in the body of Christ. Should never be. You know, God bless Melissa. She does worship, but then 1 week she's missing. Where's Melissa? She's doing the kids. And it's like, wait a minute. I mean, God bless her, and I mean, if she wants to do it, that's fine. But come on, let her do worship. Let her focus on that, and let somebody else pick up the kids. Am I out of line with that? That's crazy. You got a couple of the sisters doubling back. You know, it's like, come on, they don't have to double back. Somebody pick it up. Do you know the joy? How do you know you have the gift of helps? It's one of the gifts. You love what you're doing. How do you know you don't have the gift of helps? Well, you're helping, but you're complaining about everybody else that's not helping. That's how you know that you don't have the gift of helps. Someone with the gift of helps, they're so blessed. Why? Because they're operating in the gift that God has given them. Why are some of us growing dry? You know, we go to church after 4 months, you know, we need a new scenery. That's why churches, the average in Vegas is 2 years. Why? Because nobody's doing anything with the preaching, and so you're going to dry up after 2 years because you're not exercising your gift or your talent or being committed to something where you'll see your worthiness. Man, it's nice to come to church. Hey, Tommy, how you doing? Man, that guy knows me. Man, it feels good. But just walk in there, who's a, you know, and nothing goes on. That's sad. But boy, when you're ministering together, when you are ministering together, that is a bonding, that is creating a oneness. Amen. I'm going to put some names. Dana and Matt go out. They go out Saturday to the park. If there's any evangelists, join them. They just go out there and they share. And they find such joy. I just had a conversation with Matt. It's just such joy in exercising his gift. But he'll dry up if he's not doing it. Like all of us, we're all dry up if we're not doing what we're called to do. And then we'll get critical and start complaining. And then we'll end up saying, like, you know, all these people who leave the church, there's no love in this church. Well, there's an old saying, you want friends, be a friend. Okay? There's an old saying, you want friends, be a friend. Reach out to people. You got the maturity. Let's keep reading. And I'll probably interrupt myself again. But now, verse 18, God has set the members, each one of them in the body, just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? I love it. We all have different personalities, you know. Sal's been with me forever, you know, in the fellowship with my Christian walk. And he's from Mexico City, you know. I'm from Brooklyn. See how God can put two people from different backgrounds, different cultures. Listen, I can go halfway around the world, and I can have sweet fellowship with a Chinese man without bridging the language barrier. It's not like Young and I, we don't talk that much. We have it, but he's very encouraging. A smile is a universal language, but you share the Spirit of Christ with that smile. There's something more than just a friendship. How could that be? You know? But that's God. That's how God works. That's how he breaks down the things that divide man. Man knows how to divide man. The Holy Spirit knows how to unify us. Amen. Let the Holy Spirit have his way. And so he goes on, and if there were one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. Listen, if I left anybody out, forgive me, but you guys are faithful, you know? Really, you've been so faithful. I'm just trying to say this is how it works. But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, if the head is the pastor, imagine saying to the least unimportant person from our perspective, don't need to talk to them. You know, sometimes we got things backwards. We gravitate to the people we like. But you know what? There's a lot of people walk in this church. They almost look disinterested. They don't smile. They don't look at you. And they sit there alone. And so you have a little bit of fellowship. Oh, let's greet one another one more time. And they'll just sit there. You know, it's been my experience. In all the years I've been ministering, those people are crying out for encouragement. They want somebody to talk to them. Now, I understand there's an element of shyness in all of us, but I'm telling you, those are the people. We gotta reverse this. Yeah, we got our friends. I mean, we got special friends in the church. That's okay, as long as we don't become cliquish, you know? But we got special friends. That's just natural. But man, if you see someone by themselves, you know, reach out to them, go over. You won't believe how it'll just light them up. And I'm telling you, most of these people to me look disinterested, you know? That reminds me of a story. I was walking. And I'm pretty friendly. I walk, I'll say hello to everyone. If they have their little dog, oh, it's a cute little dog, you know? And do my little thing, you know? And I said, this older lady, I said, hello, how are you? And she goes like this. What was that? And it's like, here I am, I'm saying, you know what? I'm not going to say hello to that woman again. And God's saying, come on. What happened to the unconditional love? Bring her out of her shell. Maybe you can, you know? But I mean, that was crazy. You know, it's like, What was that? You know, here I am reaching out, trying to be nice. I guess the point that I'm just trying to say is we respond to how people treat us, right? We got to be careful of that. You know, somebody don't want to talk to me, I don't talk to them. That's the flesh. We got to be careful. We got to break through all that. And we got to let the Holy Spirit mold us. Not our sinful ways. But it's easy to react that way, isn't it? Somebody hurts us, what's the first thing the flesh wants to do? Retaliation. Get even. We got to be careful. But again, let's take it in a lighter sense. In church, man, we're you hear me in my prayers, let's all be gifts of encouragement to one another. You know, let's all come out of he's an introvert. Knock it off. We have the personality of the Holy Spirit, right? We all have the personality of the Holy Spirit. Somewhere, we got to break through. If we're an introvert, we got to break through it. And watch how comfortable we'll be when we do break through some of those personal habits of us. And so, no, much rather, verse 22, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. Again, the unsung heroes. And I relate this to those with the gift of helps who are in the background doing things, blessing the church because they're taking a burden off others in certain practices. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, and yet they're my heroes, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schisms in the body. You know, again, we want to function in the oneness of the Spirit, but that the members should have the same care for one another. Good verse is Philippians chapter 2. Verses 1-4. We all should partake in the common purpose, the common goal, the common love of Jesus Christ. That's Philippians chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. And so, verse 26, and if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is on it, all the members rejoice with it. Listen, that by application, that is interpreted a lot by people. You know, if somebody is sick, we all suffer with them. But in the context, if one member is failing to function according to the way God has placed them in the body, it's going to hurt the body as a whole. You know, we'll manage, you know. But God's designed the body of Christ that the local church needs to be operating on 8 cylinders. And if it's operating on only 2 cylinders, we got a problem. Now, again, I have to say this. Most churches are operated by maybe 10, 15% of people who are committed. We got to reverse that. Make it 85% and then drag the other 15% who haven't made a move with us. Amen. That's how this works. And so, it's an 8-cylinder machine, and we all have to be operating as an 8-cylinder machine. And you know what happens when that's true? Everybody gets blessed. And the church reaches its full potential. But when brothers or sisters are withholding the things that they can bring to the table, we're all going to suffer because now the church is not functioning according to God's design. But when the church is functioning according to God's design, what's going on with our hearts? The inexpressible joy of our salvation and the love that we have for one another. It's all good. Listen, in saying that, I know this. The local church is very fragile, okay? The minds, a brother of mine once said, the sheep have teat, you know? And it's like, they can bite. What did Galatians 6 say? Come on, you better get your act together or you're just going to keep devouring one another with your immature ways. Really? Churches have been destroyed. I know pastors have been run out of town. That's how crazy the sheep can be, you know? And they're all immature. They're not even committed. It's fragile. It's very fragile. It's a fragile animal, if I could say it that way. An entity. I'm sorry. I'm not calling anybody an animal. But it's very fragile. Somebody, you know, if you don't look at somebody the right way, look at them, and you grab about 5 other people, that person didn't say hello to me, man, this is, and all of a sudden, Satan is off to the races with causing division. Verse 27, now you are the body, here's the application, which I've really went over already. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually, and God has appointed these in the church, first apostles. There is greater gifts, but let's be careful. There is greater gifts to the lesser, okay? But someone with the greater gifts does not make them greater than someone else in the faith. My faith is not defined by my gift. It's defined by my obedience to God in the privacy of my life. And I tell you what, there's some unsung heroes running around who, man, they are just faithful. They don't waver, they don't bend. And yet, so we're talking about, again, quality, but we're also talking about that greatness is defined the way Jesus defined it, being a servant of all. And you don't have to be a pastor to be a servant to all. You know, you can just be someone in the church who's showing the love of Christ, building up God's people. Let me say a couple other things. I think I'll finish with I guess I must address this. You know what, let me continue. I'm going to have to address this because I hear a teaching that's off base. And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers. I'm in verse 28. after that, miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administration, variety of tongues. Oh, that's funny, tongues. They get people and these charismatic, do you speak in tongues? Do you speak in tongues? It's like, take it easy. I'm from Brooklyn. I'm still trying to learn English. I make up words. I can get away with it. I'm from Brooklyn. Did I just make up a word? I have to always ask my wife, is that a word? Is that a word? Did I make up a word? Do all have gifts of healing? These are rhetorical questions, which is, in the Greek, it's demanding a no answer. We're not all going to share the same gifts. And so he says, do all have healings? Do all speak in tongues? No, no. Do all interpret? No. But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you more excellent. So I've heard this. Now, all of us are supposed to pursue all the gifts. That's not what Paul is saying. If he was saying that, he'd be contradicting the whole chapter of 1 Corinthians 12. The idea is we have to become dependent upon one another. If we had all the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we wouldn't need anybody. We'd be our own boss. And so when he says, you know, but you desire, it's in the Greek, it's a collective singular, which means you people, us people, make sure the greater gifts are functioning in Sunrise. Don't get so fascinated with the gift of tongues and the gift of teaching and the gift of pastoring goes by the wayside. That's all he's trying to say. If he was trying to say we're supposed to all have all the gifts, it would contradict all of chapter 12. He's trying to tell us God's designed the body of Christ. We need each other. I need the body of believers. I can't function without having access to the gifts of the Holy Spirit that my brothers and sisters have. And so chapter 14 picks up the thought where he says, pursue love. Because chapter 13, the love chapter, is parenthetical. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. That's one of the greater gifts. For he who speaks in a tongue, you know, so and so. But the point is, desire the greatest spiritual gifts in a body of believers. And just encourage each other to be faithful, whatever gifts we have. That's why we have to be a church. That's why Peter said what he said. Each one should use whatever gift he has to build up his brothers in the faith. So, let me look at a couple of verses. Go to Hebrews chapter 10. Chapter 10, verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is the manner of some. Did you hear that? Yeah. Those who want to stay away from the church, you know, put that in your pipe and smoke it, you know. It's a violation of God's word. And let us consider how one another, verse 24, stir up in love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exalting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. How much encouragement do we need? Every day? Every 6 hours? Every 10 minutes? You know, right? I like to always say this. One of the translations had provoking one another. I got to share this. Christ is in all of us as born-again believers. What are we doing here? We're provoking the best of Jesus Christ out of each other. Let's help each other reach our full potential when it comes to maturing in the faith. That's what we're doing, provoking one another. Of course, we use provoking has a negative connotation, right? Oh, my wife provoked me to shoot her, you know, or something like that. You know, that's their defense in courtrooms. But to twist, to look at it in a very, I like that word, provoke. Man, bring the best out of each other. Because that's our purpose in meeting here. Go to Psalms 133. And maybe we'll end with this in a verse. Let's read it. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity. Let's say at faithfulness. Huh? You talk about sweet fellowship, and all of us have had some sweet fellowship with some close friends and brothers, you know, sisters in the Lord. Let's all have that sweet fellowship with one another in Calvary Chapel Sunrise. And so he goes on and he says, it is like the precious oil upon the head. These are terms, metaphors, refreshing. Man, you talk about getting beat up by the world and then walking into the presence of brothers and sisters and enjoying sweet fellowship. It is so refreshing. It'll turn a gloomy thought into a joyful environment as you share Christ. And all of a sudden, you get your perspective right. Because, again, you go out those doors. The world is on a collision road for hell. They're all working for Satan if they don't know Christ. Man, we got to get refreshed. And we'll find that refreshing atmosphere within a faithful body of believers. Running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of this garment, it is like the dew of Hermon, descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessings, life forevermore. That's a precious one, huh? How wonderful it is when brethren dwell together. Amen? I will admit I've had some relationships with people in the church over the years that with friends like that or brothers like that, who needs enemies, you know? Let me close with this verse. You don't have to go there. It's in Ephesians. From him, Christ, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part, gifted member, does its work. With that, I'm going to do a commercial. Listen, I see the women are very active. I was thinking, how about we do something with the men? I'll be here Saturday morning at 9 o'clock, okay? Come on, let's rally the men. I know you guys are working, and don't misunderstand me, but boy, if you can make it, you know, let's rally the men. Let's talk it through. I was thinking of calling it, you know, the making of a mentor. And it comes out of Hebrews chapter 5, 11 through 14, which says, by this time, all of us should be teachers. What that means is we are teachers to maybe not in the same capacity behind a pulpit or doing a Bible study. All of us are mentoring people around us, young Christians. And I'm saying maybe we'll use that as a theme. And we'll start just rallying together. But I'm telling you, when you fellowship together, break bread together, there's something unifying about that. Then all of a sudden you come to church and say, hey, Harry, how you doing, man? It was good seeing you Saturday, you know, and we had a good fellowship. That's how it works. Anyway, I'm going to be there for an introduction at the fellowship hall. If we get in the way of the cleaning people or the worship team, we'll just go in the parking lot, and we're going to meet one way or another. I might even take you guys to breakfast if I really feel, you know. Nah, generous. I hope I am. Anyway. Yes. 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock in the fellowship hall on Saturday. All right? We'll see where God's moving. I just feel God's moving in the men's hearts as a unifying us. Be fun. We'll shoot the breeze. Okay, we'll talk about anything. You want to talk about controversial verses in the Bible? I'll talk about that. You want to talk about who we are in Christ? Let's do it. But I believe it's a good starting point to unify us so that we really, none of us will be strangers on Sunday when we come here. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for a place of worship, Father, a place of fellowship. Let us never, Father, depreciate the location that you've given us, that we can build each other up in the faith, Father, that we can truly learn the deep secrets of holiness and the deep secrets of the love of Christ, Father. And so, Father, I just ask for my brothers and sisters. Sometimes we have a mental block, Father, and the older we get, that block gets harder. I'm just saying, Father, help us to break through that if we know that we need the fellowship of the brothers. And allow us, Father, to make it our business, to our priorities, Father, that instead of putting you on hold when we have a desire to do something else, break through that wall and let us put those things on hold as we give the first fruits of our life to Jesus Christ. We love you, Father. We thank you. We lift all these things up to you. In Jesus' name, amen.